Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Terminal fans, Sign Guy and QT with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Before we jump into things, a couple of reminders. If you're looking for wrestling today, you have the big fire show happening in Eaton, Maryland today, featuring Casey Carlisle. Also, you can find me later today in Portland at the North Portland Eagles for Blue Collar Wrestling. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest on the show. He is out of the Midwest. He will be making his World's Finest Wrestling debut against Cody Hawk. Wade Castle, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, since today's your first time on our show, we're going to start you off with the first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, since I was a child, I'd say maybe 5 years old, I've been deep into wrestling, man. I think the first match I actually set and watched and was like, man, this is cool, this is what I want to do, was Flair and Steamboat. I believe it was at the Chi-Town Rumble. It stuck on me. And ever since, man, I've just been on wrestling. It actually took me a while to get into the business. I was a lot older than a lot of the guys that are in the business now. That started out. I was 28, I believe, when I started. And so I've only been in the business about 4.5 years. But man, it's going well. It's going great. I'm having a good time. I love it.
And you talked about getting into the business late. In the Midwest, there's a lot of young talent that have a lot of experience already because we're seeing second and third generation wrestlers popping up pretty frequently in the Midwest. When you're in there with someone that is several years younger yet has several years of experience on you, is that a little bit hard to adjust to as far as going through your mind that this kid is several years younger, but he's been wrestling for potentially a lot longer than you have?
I mean, they may have a little bit more knowledge than I have and a little more ring time, but I'm just going to put it out there right now. They're not as good as me. Plain and simple. When a guy that has been in the business, let's just give it maybe 6-7 years, gets in the ring with me at the end of the match, he's shaking my hand. He's telling me, hey, man, you're one of the greatest wrestlers I've been in the ring with. And for me, you know, that's enough confidence to keep getting in there and keep doing what I do, man. And especially with a lot of the younger cats. I mean, I work with a lot of younger cats. And a lot of the guys out of the Midwest, younger talent, are stepping their game up, man. I mean, the Midwest is coming up, so to say.
Now, we mentioned World's Finest Wrestling, and your opponent there, most definitely not a young wrestler as far as experience. He's very experienced, one of the better wrestlers you're going to find in your area. That being Cody Hawk, what's it going to be like for you getting into the ring with someone the caliber of Cody Hawk as World's Finest Wrestling makes its return?
Oh, man. Well, to be completely honest with you, A little nervous, not going to lie. Never have I stepped in the ring with anybody with just such experience and such talent as Cody Hawk. I mean, everything he's done in this business and, you know, the years he's had in this business, man. But, you know, it's going to take me a lot to defeat him. I know that. I'm gonna have to use my mind more than I've ever had to use it before in the ring. I'm gonna have to use, you know, but I think I can get it done, and I think it'll go over well.
World's Finest Wrestling making its long-awaited return, and besides yourself and Cody Hawk, there's a lot of great talent on this show. There's going to be a championship tournament to crown the first heavyweight champion for World's Finest Wrestling. Looking at the lineup of things moving forward, even going past June 9th, is there anyone on the roster that you see that might be someone that you would most like to have a long-term situation with, someone that you might want to wrestle multiple times at World's Finest Wrestling?
Well, to be honest with you, there's a man by the name of Apollo Starr on the card. I've watched his work for a while now, and I got to say that I would be honored to be standing across the ring with him during a few bouts. A few of the guys on the show or in the tournament I have already been across the ring with, one being Mason Alexander. Me and him stepped in the ring several times. The outcome has been 50-50, if you were to say. And me and him's always had a good contest. Matt Vengeance as well. Me and him have squared off all around Indiana and Ohio. So me and him have a little bit of a history. So I wouldn't mind me and Mr. Matt Vengeance going one-on-one a few times. I mean, it might even happen in the tournament. You know, Isaiah, I know who he is. I've only watched a few of his matches, and I am very impressed. I mean, he's a veteran. He's been in the game a very long time. I would love to step toe-to-toe with him as well. And, you know, and so forth. You know, World's Finest Wrestling is about to put not only Connersville, Indiana, not only Indiana, but the Midwest itself on the map. It's going to be fine professional wrestling. It's going to be old school mixed with a little bit of the new school. And, you know, I believe it is the next big thing in professional wrestling.
Now, you mentioned Apollo Starr. I've known him for a great many years, and if you get the chance to wrestle against him, you might want to take the advice that he has given most people that he's come across in the wrestling business, and that be, don't be sucking. There's a lot of guys on this particular roster that have quite a bit of experience. You mentioned Apollo Starr, Cody Hawk, of course, very, very reputable trainer. Donnie Idols got a lot of experience, even though he's the guys that, despite a younger age, has a lot of experience. Lots of guys out there that are veterans in the wrestling business at this point. Who are some of the guys that might be on this roster that you would most want to sort of pattern yourself after a little bit and try to go down a similar path to them as far as a career?
That's a great question. Answer-wise, there's a few. Like I've mentioned, Cody Hawk. I've known Cody Hawk for some time now, and just everything he's done in the business so far is impressive. I mean, you know, big ups to him. So I would probably have to say Cody Hawk.
Not a bad choice. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that QT is going to have some questions for you, so I'm going to pass you over to him
okay.
for a bit.
All right, good deal, brother.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Wade.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad. Wade, can we ask what your entrance music is?
Yes, my entrance music is from a band called Hone Your Sense. The song is Black Lotus.
Black Lotus?
Yes.
Oh, wow, okay. Have you ever seen them in concert?
I have not, no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Wade, at one point, Dean Ambrose was called the Lunatic Fringe. A lot of people didn't like this nickname. If you are in a new tag team 5 years from now, would you use this name, Lunatic Fringe?
No.
Can I ask why? And is it, and are you afraid of the copyright infringement that Dean Ambrose
well,
on this?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. First off, it would be copyright infringement if I were to use Lunatic Fringe. Second, I don't need a tag team 5 years from now because I'm doing it all on my own. Wade Castle is the next big thing in professional wrestling. Plain and simple, there will be no tag team. There will be none to follow.
Wow, so something tells me that you prefer singles competition to tag team.
Absolutely, because I had a tag team partner at one point in time, and that tag team partner was weak. That tag team partner held me down, and I had to break away. I had to break the chains, so to speak, so that way
you had
to, I could go on to bigger and better things.
You had to what you're saying is you had to break the chains that bind you, that bind bounded
absolutely.
You? Absolutely. Wow, okay. All right. Well, Wade, Ric Flair was called the dirtiest player in the game. Who do you think should inherit that today now that he is retired?
Player in the game.
Yes.
Well, if I would know no better, I would say maybe it'd get passed on down to me.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was going
to maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Oh, okay. Who in world's finest wrestling would inherit that now? Our semi-dirtiest player?
Our semi-dirtiest player? Well, there can only be one dirty player in the game. One real, true dirty player in the game. His name, as of right now, like I said before, we're just going to go ahead and say it is Wade Castle.
Wow. For a second there, I was going to say that you're going to say Dave Dunn. Oh, okay. Well, Wade, what is your favorite submission move, and is it the ankle lock?
Well, my favorite submission move, any submission move that would make anybody tap. It doesn't matter. I've used holds such as the ankle lock, as you have mentioned. I have used the Texas Cloverleaf, made famous by the man of 1,000 holds, Dean Malenko. I have also used the Rings of Saturn to make plenty tap. Mason Alexander being one of them. He knows who he is. He's on the card for June 9th at World's Finest Wrestling. And Matt Vengeance on there has felt the wrath of that as well. Now, here recently I've been using a hold. It's called the Octopus Stretch. Are you familiar with it?
No. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turnbuckle listeners about this?
Okay, well, the octopus stretch is very simple. Imagine an abdominal stretch. But instead of both of your feet being planted on the ground, one foot is grapevined through the other, and the other leg, well, it goes all the way around the person's neck with the pullback of the arm. So in a sense, it's kind of like an arm bar and a choke. But my version of that stretch, I do not stand with the opponent. I lay back with the opponent just to add a little bit more pressure to it.
I think I could withstand that for 7 seconds. Yes.
You're breaking up a little bit.
I think I could withstand that for 7 seconds. Yes.
You could withstand it for maybe 3.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, maybe there will be a contest coming on pretty soon. I'll let Sun Guy slap that on me. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good as long as you videotape it. Or tape it however, and tag me in it somehow so I can watch it. Absolutely.
Wow. All right. There's my first project of this year. Okay.
There you go. Sounds good.
Well, Wade, can you tell our fans what a Texas cloverleaf is?
A Texas cloverleaf. Okay. Well, it is a submission that puts a lot of pressure on the middle of your back. What you do is you take the legs and you pretty much cross them together. You interlock your hands. You step over, forcing your opponent to turn onto their belly. And you pull back with force and a lot of pressure. It's a very, very, very painful submission, a very painful hold.
Wow. Holy smoke. Okay. All right. Well, Wade, was the Rings of Saturn, was that a move named after Perry Saturn?
That was, yes.
Oh, okay.
Perry Saturn is the one that pretty much started using the move, and then it's evolved since. I mean,
wow.
now a lot of guys that are using that move are also applying what we call a cross face, which is where you interlock your hands across the middle of the person's face and you retch back.
Yes,
and it's a very, 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 very painful hold.
Ooh, many dentists across the United States are familiar with that hold. Yes.
Yeah.
This has helped many dentists put their kids through college. Yes.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Wade, you mentioned the octopus stretch. Octopuses are pretty reclusive of animals, or should I say invertebrates. One was found living in a can with a World War II grenade guarding it. That was a fact. Yes.
Oh.
Octopus.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, that's news to my ears. Learn something new every day.
Yes. Okay. Well, Wade, if I was one of the hotter ladies in WFW wrestling, and one of the hotter ladies, let's say in the Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio area, and on the indie circuit, and I saw you take to the top rope and do a high-flying aerial maneuver, would I describe your execution of such a move as having all the beauties of Snoopy going to battle on a Sopwith camel, if I was one of the hotter ladies in your area?
Barry, see, first and foremost, I'm not like a lot of these guys that are out here nowadays. I'm not your flippity guy. All right, I don't do a lot of top rope, fancy mumbo, frickin' jumbo. That's not me. But, to answer your question, if I were to come off of the top rope with such grace and such beauty and such destruction at the end, then I would come off the top rope with double knees to the sternum area.
Wow.
Because I want to hurt. I want to hurt my opponents. I don't want to toy with them. I want to hurt my opponents. I want to let them know that they are going toe-to-toe with the American psychopath, Wade Castle. I want them to remember when they stepped into the ring with me for their entire career, if it even lasts longer than after our match. So just to go ahead and just put that into terms, yes, my top rope move, if I were to do one, it would be executed with beauty, brilliance, and devastation. It'd be a double knee.
Well, okay. Well, I think that would accurately describe Snoopy going into battle with his soft-whip camel, yes. You see, that's only if I were a hotter-looking lady in your area. A lady with slightly below-average looks might not be get too enthusiastic about your high-flying maneuver. A lady with below-average looks, yes. Okay.
No, we would just go ahead and have to, first off, I would have to tell that lady she better take her eyes off me because it's pay-per-view, you have to pay to see this. Second, I would just go ahead and tie a pork chop or some, I don't know, some money for that woman to afford plastic surgery around somebody's neck and have her chase them out of the building so I don't have to look at her anymore.
Oh, my gosh. Those are pretty harsh words. You know, Wade, it sounds
well,
like
they are,
you have
I'm a,
some...
I'm a harsh person. I'm a very harsh person.
It sounds like a Ravishing Rick Rude might have been a distant cousin of yours. Ravishing Rick Rude.
No. No.
Oh. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Wade, what's the smallest crowd that you have had to wrestle for, but the one that most surprised you with its enthusiasm, and it made the sound twice as big as it was with the enthusiasm? What's the smallest crowd?
The smallest crowd?
Yes.
Well, heck, man, honestly, I've worked in buildings that's drew maybe 10 or 15 people, man. And I mean, and not only me, but the guys in the locker room or the guys that were in the ring that were performing, that were putting on their craft and giving those fans 120%. I mean, man, they were on their toes every step of the way. To me, that's what defines. And, you know, all gimmicks, jokes aside right now, that's what defines us as pro wrestlers, man. I'll give respect to anybody that steps in that ring and gives it 150% each and every night to go out there. I don't care if they've been in the business for 1 year, 2 years, 20 years, and barely still moving, but they're still going in the ring. You have my respect because it's a hard business to be in, to be completely honest with you. But... 15 people, 20 people. I mean, the most that I've honestly been in front of, I would honestly say maybe 120-ish, 150. You know, which for me is good as long as we got. I have a few people that are paying to watch me perform my craft. I'm a happy camper, plain and simple, because that lets me showcase my talent in front of people that pay good money to see. Talent or to see a good show. That's what I provide for the fans to come out and watch me. Each and every night I'm on the card, and any card that I'm on.
Now, what's the venue that World's Finest Wrestling wrestles in? What venue?
Well, for June the 9th, it's going to be at the Expo Hall in Connersville, Indiana. But World's Finest Wrestling is looking to further, you know, itself, and we're going to be looking to travel here before too long. But to get back up on our toes and to get going, you know, it's going to be a process. But I believe with the talent that World's Finest Wrestling has to offer, I believe the process ain't going to be very long.
Now, when you have wrestled in Connersville, Indiana, have you sold a lot of T-shirts there before?
I have never wrestled in Connersville, Indiana, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, okay. What city go ahead.
No, I was just telling you that, you know, I've never wrestled in Connersville. I mean, I've wrestled in other places. But you kind of beat me to the punch, so.
And that's not the heart punch. That's not a heart punch reference.
No,
because that's pretty dangerous.
No, yes, especially happened to have taken one from Big John Studd back in the day.
Ooh, Big John Studd, yes. Wow. Now, you see, out here, the heart punch was affected by a that was on Portland Wrestling back in the 70s. Would you yourself call yourself a connoisseur of old wrestling tapes and old school wrestling like Portland Wrestling?
I mean, yeah, I own the network, I get to watch a lot of the older stuff whenever I can, whenever I'm not on the road or I'm not, you know, doing, you know, my other things that I do. But, whenever I get a chance, I do. I watch a lot of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I watch a lot of Mid-South, AWA, older NWA. I'm a huge, huge Flair guy. Dick Murdoch is probably one of my favorite guys in the game for the longest time. I'd say I watch a lot of older wrestling tapes. I mean, if that's what you want to call it nowadays, I wouldn't necessarily say tapes, but you know.
Yes. Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Well, back in the mid-70s, the territorial days were starting to give way to the national format. But you had a young Roddy Piper not necessarily make his debut in Portland, Oregon for Don Owens. He had a couple years or two under his belt. But at that time, I don't think he was playing his bagpipes as entrance music, at least not in Portland Wrestling. My question is, how much would it mean to a Wade Castle if he could travel back in time and be there when Roddy Piper first started playing his bagpipes?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, it'd be cool. I'm a huge Piper fan as well, man. One of the best in the game. That would have been something to see. It really would have. I would have enjoyed that for sure.
Well, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Wade, can you tell us what your school colors were in high school and what your mascot was? This is very definitely a question that both Sign Guy and I have been asking in the past couple of weeks, and it's wrestling related.
Okay. My high school colors were red and white, and my mascot was a Spartan.
Oh, a Spartan. Okay.
Yeah.
A Spartan. Now, wasn't there a old Saturday Night Live clip where there was a cheerleading a spoof or episode where Will Ferrell himself was a Spartan?
I believe so. Yes. I was never that big of a SNL fan. I mean, I watched a little bit. I watched more along the days of Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, David Spade, all those guys when they were on there. Chris Rock, Mike Myers, all that. What was that? Maybe like early 90s, mid 90s, I think.
Something
like that.
I can confirm that Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry were indeed Spartans. Yes.
Yeah, I could tell.
Well, Wade, did you know that Speedway High School in Indianapolis, which is located just a mile to the west of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, has a spark plug for a mascot? Spark plug.
I did not know.
Can you tell our listeners here on the Turnbuckle Turmoil podcast what gift you got your date for the high school senior prom. I got mine an oil filter. What was the present that you didn't date?
I gave her the view of the back seat of my Lincoln Town Car is what I gave her. That's the present that she got. She got to be in the back seat with Wade Castle. That's the present that she got. Next question.
Would some of your wrestling opponents say that she would have been better off with an oil filter?
Probably would. They'd probably tell her she's probably better off with anything but me, but, you know.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Wade, on the subject of mascots, why can't the world's finest wrestling organization have a mascot? The WFW.
Well, you don't see a lot of mascots for wrestling feds. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I've never been asked that question before. I'm not too. Yeah.
Will you yourself, Wade Castle, join the staff of Turnbuckle Turmoil in bringing a mascot to World's Finest Wrestling this fiscal year? Will you join us in our quest?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, if who
doesn't need a mascot? You know, you always need somebody cheering you on.
Sure. Yes. Even if it's Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry as a Spartan.
There you go.
Now, let's say if World's Finest Wrestling were to choose or pick a mascot, what would your choice be between these schools? Now, at Evergreen State College out here in the Northwest, their mascot is the Gooey Duck, which is a clam. And the University of California at Santa Cruz, their mascot is the Banana Slug. And Artie, the Fighting Artichoke, is the mascot of Scottsdale Community College. So between these three, the Gooey Duck, the Banana Slug, and the Fighting Artichoke, which one do you think would most fit World's Finest Wrestling?
Probably the Fighting Artichoke. I mean, because at least it's got a fighting chance, right?
Oh, yeah, I get that. I see what you did there. Oh, okay.
And honestly, I'm not too sure on what a banana slug is, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, well, a banana slug is pretty much a fairly sized good slug, which is yellow in appearance, and it has kind of like black dots on it, the banana slug.
I got you. Okay.
Yes.
More like a bruised banana, but, you know.
Yes, you have that right. Okay. Yes. Now, speaking of artichokes, can you take us through a typical daily diet of Wade Castle? What do you do to feed yourself and give you those calories? Can you fill us in on that?
Sure. I usually get up pretty early, go on a small run, scope out the ladies when I got a chance to, you know. Then what I'll do is I'll come back home and I will make myself some eggs, some sausage, some pancakes, maybe some biscuits and gravy, have myself a nice big breakfast, eat that. Then for lunch, I usually eat a small lunch. I don't eat big on lunch. I might grill me a piece of chicken, have me a salad maybe. And then for dinner, I mean, it's course meal, man. I mean, I have to get all my protein in. for the day. So I really I'm on a different diet, but you know, I eat pretty healthy. I would say I don't eat a lot of junk food. I don't drink soda, that's for sure. That's poison, and I don't touch that. I'm not a fast food junkie like a lot of the other guys in the business. I don't need to be.
Okay.
So I would say, I mean, I eat probably the, what do they say the daily calories you're supposed to intake as, is it 2,000 or am I mistaken?
No, I think for a young man who is in a profession like yours, it's upwards toward 4,500 calories or 5,000.
Okay, well. Yeah, I'd probably say maybe I'm around the 3,500 range, maybe 40, 4,000 range, but you know, I'd say I eat pretty healthy.
Have you ever had biscuits and gravy in a Shelbyville diner? Biscuits and gravy.
I have not, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Have you?
So. Yes, I have. I have had biscuits and gravy in a Shelbyville diner. Yes. On my one trip there. Yes.
And how was it?
It was very good. I gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Good. Good deal. Good deal. See, I don't really stop in Shelbyville, but for everybody that is listening that wants to follow Mr. Wade Castle, I will be in Shelbyville, Indiana on June 16th for New Era Wrestling, where I will be taking on Hillbilly Jed in a one-on-one contest. So that'll be nice.
Ooh, now I think it's safe to say that Hillbilly Jed may have downed his share of biscuits and gravy. He's a rather big, boned, and bulky man. Yes. Kind of like in the Mark Henry.
Yeah, he's a pretty big fella. I mean, he's got a bigger size than he does, you know, on me, but that's not gonna matter because my speed and my strikes will be enough to take the giant down. So.
Wow. All right. It kind of like when Bruce Lee faced Lew Alcindor in his classic movie Enter the Dragon. Yes, Enter the Dragon.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now let's see. Yes. You said you usually have grilled, like a chicken breast, is it grilled chicken breast and brown rice that you usually have for lunch? Grilled chicken breast.
Yes, I actually enjoy brown rice. They're actually like, I would say, every Wednesday. And I think there for a while it was every Monday as well. I was eating salmon with brown rice for lunch every day. Every Wednesday and like every Monday for a minute. But now it's just switched to every Wednesday. So every Wednesday that's what I'll eat for lunch. I got to have my salmon. I love me some salmon, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, is it the expensive salmon, like the Copper River salmon from Alaska?
Yeah, the wild salmon, yes.
Wow, all right.
Grilled. Only way to eat it is grilled. I throw it down on the George Foreman, let it cook for, I don't know, maybe, I would say probably a good 15 to 20 minutes on each side. So, I mean, it takes a while to cook, the way I like to eat it anyways. And I actually set it in some lemon juice mixed with some own little seasonings I'm not going to give out. You know, it's Wade Castle secret. And I'll throw it on the George Foreman grill for a little bit, and voila, there's my Wednesday afternoon lunch.
Hey, outstanding, a George Foreman grill. That's very good. Okay. Man, with all this healthy eating, can we ask what Wade Castle's waist size is? Your waist size.
My waist? It's probably, I would probably say about a 34.
Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Now, Wade, you're probably maybe, you might have been in to weightlifting magazines when you were a younger kid. Are you familiar with one of the world's famous weightlifters and bodybuilders that went up against Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 1969 Mr. Universe contest and beat him? We're talking none other than the myth, Sergio Olivier. Are you familiar with this world-famous bodybuilder, Sergio Olivier?
I'm not.
Oh, okay. They called him the myth, and for years his weight never fluctuated. This is a guy that stood about 6 foot two and topped out at about 245 pounds, yet he never advanced beyond a 33-inch waist. The myth, Sergio Olivier. Yes.
Wow. I'd say I'm a pretty hefty fella too. I've been a 34 for quite some time. So I mean I wouldn't necessarily call myself a fat guy. I'm a pretty thick guy. You know, I wouldn't say I work out, but you know, I work out a little bit. I eat more, you know, I eat healthy just so that way, you know, for my heart and everything else. I usually go for runs and stuff, but I'm not really big on the bodybuilding thing. Like, it's to be honest with you, it's kind of hard to make time in my life for me to go to the gym like a lot of guys do and, you know, get bulked up and stuff. I usually stay at home and hit about, I don't know, about 150 push-ups, around 150 push-ups a day. I'll do that. I'll do some running. You know, I'll do a little bit of cardio, some Tai Chi, you know, every once in a while.
Wow, well, 150 push-ups. Now, that's not bad. There was a time where Sign Guy was doing some daily push-ups, and I believe it had to do for charity. After the show, you might get together with Sign Guy, and he might send you a clip of himself doing some push-ups. You could be inspired. Yes.
Possibly, yeah, sure. I'll ask him.
Well, okay. All right. Well, Wade, who makes your wrestling gear? Do you have a certain person that you go to for your wrestling gear needs?
Not really. Just different, you know, different people make my gear. I know of a lot of good designers and stuff as well, but they don't design my gear. I'm just a plain guy, you know. I mean, I don't have the whole fancy schmancy, you know, gear. I don a set of blue trunks, some dark navy blue trunks that have my name in red across the front and American Psychopath on the back. I wear a pair of Asami kick pads, which is a Japanese style kick pad. For my hard, explosive kicks that I like to throw at my opponents. And, you know, I wear the basic wrestling shooter tennis shoes or shoes, I mean, and knee pads, tape. You know, I don't do the whole fancy-smancy thing. So, but the guy that did the lettering on my trunks is actually from ABC Graphic Concepts in Connersville, Indiana. So for those in the area, if you're looking for a guy to throw, you know, a nice, you know, emblem or something on your trunks or your tights or your shorts or whatever gear you got that you want to throw something on, you know, feel free to look him up. Connersville, Indiana, ABC Graphics. And he's a good guy. Tell him Wade sent you.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Wade, a lady in the Virginia area whom both Sign Guy and myself have gotten autographs from, and she herself has nice wrestling gear, is Casey Carlisle. Have you heard of this women's champ from the Virginia area, Casey Carlisle?
Casey Carlisle. I believe she's been mentioned around me a few times in the locker rooms I've been in, but personally, I don't know her, no.
Okay, all right. Well, she has very large title belts and has owned several of them at one time. Maybe... Maybe
I'm sorry, what was that?
Maybe Sign Guy could send you a couple clips of Casey Carlisle. Yes. A couple of signs at a time.
Yeah, that would be good.
Oh,
that
would
be awesome. I'll have to ask him for those. Yeah, yeah, I'll have to check her out.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Wade, Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath played rhythm guitar in his pre-Sabbath days, including his stint with the band The Breed. When Black Sabbath was formed, and they were originally called Polka Talk, lead guitarist Tony Iommi made it clear that he didn't want two guitarists in the band, so Geezer Butler switched to bass. His early influence of bass playing was Jack Bruce of Cream. Geezer Butler was one of the first bassists to down-tune his instrument from the standard E-A-D-G to the lower C-sharp, F-sharp, B-E. And he was also one of the first bass players to use a wah-wah pedal, as exemplified on Black Sabbath's Master of Realities album. My question is, have you yourself ever used a wah-wah pedal as a foreign object?
I have not, but you know what? Just for that question, just because of that, I'm going to start using one.
Whoa! Yeah, now, do you yourself play bass guitar?
I do not know, but it wouldn't be hard to find one of those, so...
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, I have a home. We at Turnbuckle Turmoil usually give out homework assignments, and we have a specific homework assignment folder that we have given to a lot of our guests over the years. And I'm going to give you the homework assignment of looking up Homer Simpson takes up bass guitar. Homer Simpson takes up bass guitar.
Okay.
Yes.
Will do.
And this was all influenced of my question if you had ever hit another wrestler with a wah-wah pedal.
Okay.
That and some guy will send you some pieces
Okay, so you're kind of breaking in and out.
Oh, all right. At this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Okay, all right. Hey, thanks for the conversation,
KT.
Man. It's been...
Well, Wade, we got just a little while left here in the show, so I'm going to wrap things up and give you the time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you'd like, the floor is all yours.
Okay, first off, I want to thank those that are out there that listened to me ramble on a little bit. This is my first podcast, so I was a little nervous, but, you know, the ice has got to be broke sometime, right? Second, you can see me, Wade Castle, the Clown Prince of Brawl Style, the American Psychopath, at World's Finest Wrestling, June 9th, Connersville, Indiana, at the Expo Hall. I will be the first ever WFW champion. I will defeat three other men to become that as well. So come see history in the making, ladies and gentlemen, and I guarantee you, you will be nothing more than impressed.
Well, Wade Castle, I want to thank you for being on today. We're happy that we were able to be your first ever interview. And I want to wish you luck on the 9th of June as you go into Connersville for World's Finest Wrestling.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, man. Much appreciated.
All right, fans, make sure you have plans in place to be there June 9th to see Cody Hawk versus Wade Castle. Support Wade Castle wherever he might be and look him up. Go find some YouTube, buy any merchandise he might have out there. And we will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we have the ring announcer Rod Sterling. And a week from today, we have wrestling agent, former second-generation wrestler, promoter, manager. He's held a lot of hats in the business. Dylan Hines will be with us. So definitely make sure you're with us next week, and we will talk to you later.
Just before.